now for our usual final segment, we talk with retired U.S. Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson about climate and weather. Welcome, Hugh.
Hello. How are you doing tonight, Bray?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you here. So this time we thought we'd focus on the report of the World Meteorological Organization released last week on climate conditions in 2021. So to start us off, why is this annual report significant?
Well, because I read it, and it certainly is significant because it basically recaps a lot of what I've been saying before, that we are climatologically in trouble. It states that we're still continuing to pour an anomalous amount of CO2 into the atmosphere. The number was 413 parts per billion in 2020. I believe that number has gone up even since then. It's up to 417. So we're continuing to put the one thing that we know is causing the climate change into the atmosphere pretty much unabated. There's talk of reducing it. Reduction has occurred, but it's not enough to really change things around. And and then there are other things. Basically, our Earth continues to warm 1.11 degrees above the pre-industrial average for the entire globe. And even though 2021 was not our warmest year because of La Nina, we're now on our third La Nina year in a row. So that tends to have a slight cooling because there's a cooling current in the Pacific, a large one at that. But even so, we're still, the last 6 years have been the warmest years on record. And the glaciers are melting, the seas are rising, and we're seeing all kinds of weather disasters. In 2021 in the United States, we had 21 billion or more separate disasters that costing $1 billion or more just in that year alone, only beat out by the year before. And we've never had that kind of thing happen, even when you correct for inflation, the cost of living and things like that. So a lot of bad stuff going out there. The coral reefs are beginning to shut down at 1.5 degrees Celsius. Scientists project 70 to 90% of them will fail. That's right. Only 4 more tenths of a degree and they will fail because the oceans are really warming up fast too now. And they're also getting more acidic and that's helping to kill the coral reefs. But the one place it's not warming up, and I'm looking at it right now, is along the Gulf Stream. We've talked about this before. The Gulf Stream is showing signs of cooling off. You can see the water is actually cooler near the Gulf Stream. It's slowing down. Folks, I think we're in trouble because this is definitely, I've seen this day after day on this particular internet site called climateanalyzer.org. You can look at it for yourself. So those are just some of the key points.
So this report, and also you are coming to us every week, it's record-breaking. We keep, breaking these barriers that and talking about the emergencies that are taking place. I understand that in this report, they're really trying a different approach to communicate the urgency of the situation. What are they, how are they trying to reach people in ways that they haven't before?
Well, they're trying to show that people are going to be in trouble. Basically, the sea levels are rising and up to 40% of the population lives within 60 miles of the sea level or within sea level. So right there is a problem. People of color, people in poor class are going to be affected the most. I didn't see that in the report, but I'm telling you that's true, that we have the lower classes are going to be hurt the most by climate change. And they're trying to convey this message. But, the problem is, as we said all along, this is still a political thing. There is still politics going on involved, and I see it even with scientists, some scientists. It just irks me that the evidence is as plain as your face, and yet people are saying, it's not true, or they're looking at temperatures in the higher atmosphere and saying, we're not really warming, because they show that, but we all know it's true that the Earth is warming and it continues to warm. It will continue to warm until we really do something about it and get towards net carbon emissions. That's what we need to, net zero carbon emissions.
Now, you mentioned the political aspects of this, and some listeners might be thinking that we have more immediate issues to deal with, like the war in Ukraine, but the issues of climate and of the war and of the fuel supplies are all interrelated. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, they are, absolutely. Basically, as we all know, we're feeling the pinch at the pumps, close to $5 a gas for a gallon of gas. But I'll tell you, when I drove down to Virginia, the traffic was worse than ever. It's like people aren't getting the message, though. That's the problem. They're willing to pay the $5, complain about it, and they're still taking their cars out, their SUVs. So I don't think people really are getting the message. I think we're trying our best. Well, maybe not even that, but we're trying to send the message through, but a lot of people aren't getting it. And yes, they think the war in Ukraine is worse, and it could have a quicker outcome, but climate change is right there. It's not going anywhere, and it's accelerating. We're seeing everything accelerate. So it is a real problem. It needs to be dealt with just as much as the Ukraine war.
And isn't it one of the connections that because of our dependency on oil and gas that we're unable to really break off, or many countries, from Russia? And so there's this interdependence of continuing to harm the planet because we're reliant on these fuel systems.
That is absolutely true. We need to really invest in renewable systems, and that's what they talk about that in this report. That is the way to go, to invest in, the companies, what are they investing in? They're still putting a lot of money into oil-burning companies. We still have a lot of backing, even from government agencies and things like that. It's still there. And as long as that happens, there's not going to be the incentive to jump on board to renewable energy and clean energy. And it is very disturbing. The high gas prices they're still going out and traveling as much as ever. So I don't know what it's going to take. It's probably going to take a disaster that really hits home, a huge disaster that hits home that maybe starts getting people scared. But by then it may be too late.
So, switching gears a bit, we're talking on Monday evening in a day that had a high in the 70s after Sunday that had a high in the 90s. What's your forecast for the rest of the week? Are we continuing the seesaw craziness?
A little bit, but actually the next couple of days look really nice. Right? They look like Tuesday and Wednesday look like winter's temperature near 70, cool nights, comfortably cool nights. Thursday, a little cloudy or maybe a shower. And then Friday, we probably will have a front come through with some showers and thunderstorms. Memorial Day weekend is kind of up in the air. I think I'm leaning towards the European solution, but the GFS solution is not the same. But European built a ridge along the East Canadian seaboard, and it will start getting hot again. And I think most people would rather see that than the GFS being cool and rainy. Not like last year. I mean, remember, last year we had a horrible Memorial Day weekend. It was in the 40s. It got nice right afterwards. So, but it looks like a pretty nice week. I want to point out one other thing. There was a very interesting weather event over the weekend. A very large derecho went through Quebec, including Quebec City. Up to 40% of the Canadian population was impacted by this thing, and it caused deaths, massive damage, and power outages. A very powerful derecho. We could talk about that in another segment, but these are very powerful thunderstorms that includes a large Boeing, a couple hundred miles long, and produces a swath of destruction. Not necessarily an indicator of climate change, but it was a little unusual, and it wasn't well forecast. Sometimes they aren't. And Miles didn't pick up on it at all, but it was a very bad, and it went into, I think, northern parts of Maine as well.
So that was and we have to wrap up here, but that was an unusual thunderstorm that was badly forecast and impacted 40% of the Canadian population. Is that what you said?
Up to it. And what was forecast was that the ratio, it produces its own environment, it produces its own winds aloft and everything, and it becomes like a monster. It basically accelerates at very high speeds and produces a large area of destructive wind gusts.
Interesting.
And we do get these occasionally. We can talk more about this in another segment. We get these in the Northeast from time to time, and they actually cause a lot more damage than tornadoes in the Northeast.
And more for the next time. We so appreciate you giving us our meteorological lessons. Thank you for joining us again, Hugh Johnson.
You got it. Have a great night.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.